Go to Devon from £24 each way. Go board your train. Go chat. Go snooze. Go get off El Fresco. Go see the seashells on the seashore. Go Exmoor, Dartmoor. Go have a go. Go surf. Go fall or fail. Go savour jam and scones and cream. Go visit a beach, a bay. Go off into the wide blue yonder. Go immerse yourself in Devon from £24 by Great Western Railway. Terms and conditions apply. Advance fares subject to limited availability. Selected routes only. Visit gwr.com for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo Del Rio and Footloose. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Russ. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm enjoying the weather. Although, yeah, I have to say, a lot of people who come in from Canada are not enjoying our humidity in September, which I don't blame them. We're not supposed to have this much humidity lately. It's been like 85%. That's a real 85% for all you Canadians listening out there. Just letting you know. But hey, another week, and we'll get right into it. But you guys, you're doing okay? Everything okay at the homestead for you guys?
Things are good here, Russ. Yeah. I had a ball game last night. I can speak to some of that humidity. It was ugly. I'm a catcher, and it was. That was a wet. It was a wet night. Yeah, wasn't the best, but we won. So.
Was it a wet night or a moist night?
That's good.
Yeah.
Was it a wet night or a moist night? Was it a moist night?
Moist, yes. Now I heard you right.
Sure. Yeah, moist, whatever.
That's by the way, Russ, I know you're Jewish, so you don't read the New Testament, but moist is one of the words not used in the New Testament, just in case you're keeping track of these words.
Okay.
Not once does moist appear.
All right, so we move on.
Wow.
And let's do a little talking about Frank Trpucka. I do remember his son, Kelly. He was a heck of a basketball player, and he was honored by the Broncos Sunday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Footloose?
Well, one thing that's interesting about Frank Trpucka is that a lot of people don't know that he played for years and years and years in the Canadian Football League. And Frank Trpucka was a big star at Notre Dame, bounced around the NFL. He played for Washington, Philadelphia, the Chicago Cardinals, then found a home in Saskatchewan and was the Saskatchewan Roughriders quarterback through most of the 50s. Came to Ottawa, where he shared time with a young Russ Jackson and kind of served as a mentor to Jackson. When the AFL started in 1960, Frank Trpucka was brought down to be an assistant coach. His head coach at Saskatchewan was named the first head coach of the Denver Broncos. He brought Trpucka down with him, and after training camp, they realized they weren't very good at the quarterback position. So he talked Frank into coming out of retirement playing. And that first season in Denver, Frank Trpucka played and became the first passer in U.S. pro football to throw for 3,000 yards in a year, and he also later on would become the first NFL/AFL player to throw for 20,000 career yards. So he was honored by the Denver Broncos. He passed away a couple of years ago, but if you saw the Denver Colts game, they unveiled new banners for John Elway's number 7, Floyd Little's number 44, and Frank Trpucka's number 18, which he allowed Peyton Manning to wear. Kelly Trpucka said in the media Sunday that one of the conditions that Frank allowed Peyton Manning to wear number 18 was that there was a premise that he had to win a Super Bowl wearing his number. And even though Frank had passed away before the Super Bowl happened, Kelly was talking about how, you know, one of his last wishes came true to see Denver have Denver win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning wearing number 18. So kind of a neat thing. And the other thing that makes you realize is that there are only two ex-CFL players who have had their jerseys retired by NFL teams. A lot of people will know right off Warren Moon is one of them, but not too many people know Frank Trpucka even played in Canada.
No, that's a good one. I mean, I'm good with the Chipuka, you know, having that banner and having that number retired, and same thing with Floyd Little. I watched Floyd Little play when I was a kid. I actually met his wife once, very nice woman. I a lot of respect. But I'll tell you, John Elway almost hit me with his SUV once when I was at the All-Star game in Denver, and we were trying to get into the building, and he was pulling out, and he almost ran me over. But then he said he was sorry, and I said, okay, John, you know, I get it. And then in 98...
There's a slow white Bronco joke in there somewhere.
No. And of course, two years before, you know, he beat the Jets in the AFC Championship game when they sort of coughed it up. So I wasn't a big Elway fan, but of course you have to have him retired. I'm just kidding.
You 85% didn't like him, and that's like a real 85%, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's I would say that's fair. But let's talk about their.
Why would you say a real 85%? I know we're metric and near Fahrenheit or whatever, but 85% is 85%. It doesn't translate. So, you know, just saying, just putting that out there.
In case people were wondering, I just thought I would let them know that it's the same. That was my way of letting them know.
Okay.
My snarky
I
way.
Think you're, so, are you accounting for the exchange rate, Russ?
I always count for the exchange rate in everything when Canada is concerned. But let's talk about – there's an article out in the Edmonton Journal by Jason Greger, and it's got a heck of a headline. It says the CFL needs to do a much better job of marketing itself, and then the subheadline is, while other leagues are finding ways to become more inclusive, the CFL is seemingly becoming more exclusive. Do you think that's true? Let's talk to both of you guys about that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't say I agree with it either. Not sure exactly what Jason's premise is there, but I've been to a number of CFL games, and we've talked about in the past the, you know, letting the fans on the field post game, you know, the interaction you just see generally between players and fans. I mean, I've not seen a pro league as, you know, inclusive from that standpoint. A league do more than what the CFL is doing right now.
And well, how many times have you heard the league needs to do better marketing? I mean, that's all that we've been hearing that since the 70s. And you know what, the league is doing a very strong league's doing very well. They've got very strong marketing. They're using TSN everywhere. The only place where you're seeing empty seats visibly are in Toronto and Edmonton right now. And Edmonton historically has not had that problem.
Okay, so this guy does radio as well, and he's basically saying that he's finding his interest in the league fading, not because of the players of the game, but because of how the league's run, and apparently fans who are calling into his radio show are saying the same thing. If you're saying you're seeing less seats, so then maybe it is just that market, and maybe he shouldn't be talking about the entire league that way.
Maybe he should go watch the Seahawks play their 9-3 game that they had on the weekend then, if Canadian football isn't entertaining enough for him.
You know, one thing I have heard from Edmonton fans in particular, seen a few of them mention this now on Twitter, is some of the pricing that they're seeing for tickets for the Eskimos this year. You know, obviously they've been raising ticket prices and to a point where, you know, it has turned off a few fans. It has probably led to more empty seats than they're used to seeing. You know, so maybe that's a function, or maybe that's part of what the article's referring to. To me, you know, it looks like a business that is saying, well, you know, we can make the same money you know, with 28,000 people in the stands as we could last year with 32,000 people in the stands. So from a business perspective, you know, the team is probably doing quite well. You know, they're just not selling as many tickets. They're just getting more revenue per ticket. So, yeah,
that's
maybe
a lot of sports. See, I'll defend them. That's a lot of sports now.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And to Footloose's point, you know, yeah, the league has never been stronger when it comes to marketing. I mean, the league itself, the head office finally has a budget to actually do some, you know, advertising. I know I've seen, you know, downtown Toronto and even into southern Ontario, I've seen CFL advertising where I had never seen it before. You know, Footloose loves his Darian Durant shreddies, right? You know, signing a deal with General Mills. I mean, that's, you know, this is all the stuff that we've been missing, and now we're starting to see it. So, yeah.
Well, there's a rip
the whole...
on the website, too, Pella. Like, basically, they're not featuring. There's not enough features on players. He didn't like the way they rolled it out at the Grey Cup. It was clunky. It looked amateurish, he said. But he's also saying, like, hey, not enough player features on the website. I mean, okay. I mean, is that the biggest thing in the world? I mean, I know it's important to sort of connect with your fan base, but is that the end-all, be-all? Like, do you guys go to NFL.com all the time? I don't.
I don't either, but I think that it's up to the it's up to the teams to get their players out there, and I think that they're doing an exceptional job. And you've got to remember too. I mean, Edmonton during their glory days, you know, in the 1950s, go all the way back. Okay, you had Don Getty, who became the premier of Alberta. You had Jackie Parker. You had Normie Kwong. You had these great legends. The Eskimos were strong again in the 70s. You know, Tom Wilkinson and Larry Hybaugh and George McGowan, a lot of great players. And then they had that great defense, you know, Dave Fennell and Dale Potter and all those guys in the 80s. And then you had Warren Moon. I mean, there's always been big star power. Gizmo Williams in the 90s. And then in the last decade, Ricky Ray. And the thing that was great about all of those guys is that there was a great emotional connection with the fans. It wasn't just a matter of follow your team, but it was a matter of everybody felt emotionally invested in that team. I'm not in Edmonton. I'm in Ontario. I don't know if there's an emotional connection between the fans and someone like Mike Riley, but Mike Riley's a great player, and Edmonton has a lot of great players. People should be talking about Chris Getzlaff right now with his brother playing in the World Cup of Hockey. You know, he's one of the receivers. Adarius Bowman is probably the best receiver in the league right now. I mean, there's a lot of excitement.
Hi, Jeff, Footloose, did you intentionally bring up the World Cup of Hockey to annoy me, knowing that guy Getzlaff just beat my country? Like, was that just like a little jab here on the show? Is that what I am detecting?
It was 85% a jab.
It was. It stunned me a little, I have to say.
But that's the thing, though. It's an emotional connection, and if that's
right.
If that's what's missing now, don't mistake that as poor marketing, because it's not.
Okay, I will tell you this: in the States, people know about the CFL. There are some that definitely watch it now that it's on ESPN, and I think like the Fox affiliates have it too. I think more people know about it now in the States than when they actually had teams in the States.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm hearing that too.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, not to sound like an old man, but that's, you know, it's one of the great things about the internet and Twitter is, you know, being able to get all that information have all that information at your fingertips. And I mean, you know, it's different for us in Canada, but we obviously understand very well the fandom when it comes to rooting for your, you know, whether it's your alma mater or your favorite college or university. You know, that's a big deal to people. It's important to people, the players that they saw growing up. I mean, that matters, and you want to follow these guys as they go on, whether that's, you know, the NFL, CFL, or, you know, Arena League, what have you. And, you know, just the ability to get at that information and now be able to, you know, watch some of these former collegiate superstars in Montreal, in Toronto, in Ottawa. It's a great thing. And I'm frankly not that surprised. Maybe I'm surprised it's taking as long as it has, but you know, there's a thirst for football. I mean, you guys have
people in
fans
North America
there, that's for sure.
Like football.
Yeah.
They do.
Paulo made a good point too when he mentioned the colleges, because Canadians don't understand just absolutely how loyal American college fans are, and especially the alma mater fans are, to their college programs.
Sure.
And I'll give you an example. I moved to Dallas in 1997. I'm sitting in a cube at work. The guy beside me was a UT grad and a huge UT fan and a big Ricky Williams fan. And, you know, we got talking about the Canadian Football League in minutes, and the first thing he said is, oh, I get some of the games on ESPN2, and I love watching Oscar Giles. And Oscar Giles was a guy that was a flash in the pan up here, a defensive lineman for the Toronto Argonauts, but he was a stud at UT, and there were a lot of UT fans specifically tuning in to ESPN2 to watch Oscar Giles play because there's so much pride for their college programs, and that really fuels ESPN, their market. And if they could showcase more on the broadcast where these guys are from, what colleges they're from, it would help them out.
Yeah, I think that's all good things. All right, good discussion. So there was a coaching change in Montreal, Footloose. Jim Pops that steps down. I guess he's going to still be the GM. Why do you think he stepped down?
Well, I think it was inevitable that he was going to step down anyway. Jim Pop has never had a good track record when he stepped in at coach, and especially on an interim, like halfway through the season. I think the only coach in any sport that I can think of that's had success stepping in halfway through the season is Lou Lamoriello. I can't think of anyone else that's really had a track record. But Jacques Chapdelaine, I think that caught a lot of people by surprise because his role of the team is not a major one. He's an assistant to the offensive coordinator, but he's also a bit of a hard-ass, no-nonsense guy, and they've got a bit of a gong show to clean up there. There were a lot of candidates within the organization that were passed over, one of them being Anthony Calvillo, another being Cavis Reed. But, yeah, Chapdelaine surprised a lot of people, and I hope he does well. Paula, what do you think on that one?
Well, first of all, it's nice to see the Alouettes with a French-Canadian coach. I believe I was taking a rundown of their coaching history. I believe that'll be the first in their history, so kind of a cool little sidebar there. I think everybody could see pretty clearly that Jim Pop is not cut out for coaching. He's a great leader. He's a great football mind. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about him in the past and, all that he's done for football in Montreal or, the Canadian Football League in general. But, this was his third stint as coach. I think he probably ends his coaching career with a 17-29 record in three separate stints, so not fantastic.
Second worst offense in the league, points four wise.
22-36 Pop's career record.
Yeah,
coach. So 14 games under 500.
Okay, maybe that was including playoff games.
Not
impressive by any means. It's definitely interesting that Chapdelaine is the choice as interim coach. Basically under their setup, he would have been reporting to Anthony Calvillo as offensive coordinator, right? Up until this promotion. So definitely an interesting choice. Going into the off season, I mean, what does that mean for Calvillo long term with the Alouettes organization? Is he being groomed as the next head coach, or, maybe he's looking at it and seeing that he's not ready to be, to lead a team just yet. And I'd say that's probably the wise move, but, it sets up an interesting last six games of the season. That's for sure. I don't see Montreal making a big push for the playoffs. Frankly, I think they're pretty comfortable in that fourth seed in the East Division, but hey, who knows?
All right.
Well, Chapdelaine is also
another...
a guy who has a reputation of like ripping people a new one in film rooms, and he's always been a hard guy, and it is such, it has developed into a gong show with some of the infighting, especially with the offense there. I think maybe the first priority of Montreal is clean up the mess first. And maybe that's why Chapdelaine's the perfect guy right now.
Okay. I mean, I get that. So the I'm looking and I see that Jerron Cryer is getting action now, former Raider, right? What Paolo, what's your take on him?
Jerron Cryer, yeah, I haven't seen him.
Jerron Cryer, close. I was close.
Oh, Jerron Cryer, sorry. Okay, yeah, the Red Blacks receiver is who you're referring to.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he made his debut against last week against Calgary,
mm-hmm.
and actually had himself quite a nice game. Don't have the stats in front of me, but. I remember at least a couple of
90-something yards.
Yeah, so, you know, for Red Blacks offense, that's been struggling. And for a guy making his regular season debut, pretty nice start for him. He's a little different body type, one you don't see quite as often in the CFL. He's almost that tight end type of, type of body, a little thicker, a little bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
so like a catcher's
of, you know,
body, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just like me, exactly. Me and Jerron, very similar physiques. But it looks like a nice player. Yeah, it looks like a nice player. You know, Ottawa having 4,000-yard receivers in Ernest Jackson, Greg Ellingson, Chris Williams, and Brad Sinopoli. If they can add a real effective fifth piece to the puzzle, and you know, they've tried a few different guys this year. They tried Jake Hardy out of the University of Calgary and Khalil Payton, who's been with the team since 2014. Another talented athlete. You know, they haven't really found the guy to stick. And Kreiner definitely, he put on a good show in his first time out.
Thing I liked about Kreiner was that there was one play where he nearly scored on a deep pass and the ball was just over his fingertips, and first thing he did is he came back to the huddle to Trevor Harris, and he also addressed this with the media as he said, you know what, that was on me, I let up, I just misjudged it. You know, he's not a guy that's gonna come back to the huddle and say, come on, get me the ball. Like, he's a team player,
mm-hmm.
says and does the right things. On a one play where I felt bad for him was, the biggest adjustment for American guys coming up to Canada is the difference in special teams, because the rules, the field size, everything is completely different. And he got blown up on a return play where he actually blocked a guy in the back as he was getting hit and then got smoked into the ball carrier, resulting in a loss of he took out his own return man plus minus 10 for the illegal block. So I felt pretty bad for him, because that was a bit of a welcome to the CFL special teams moment for him. But overall, he had a very good game, and he's a good addition, like Paulo said.
Okay. Before we do the trivia question, I noticed that Shaw, who is a phone company out by you guys, also doing CFL trivia, and the prize is this Shaw bag. It sort of looks like a merce, like a man purse, Footloose. I hope that's not what we're giving
away. Is it moist
away.
Inside? Is it moist inside their merce?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to win their prize to open it up and see, but I'm just saying it looks like a man purse.
Merce is another word that's not in the New Testament, though that's two we've got so far on the show today, if you're keeping score.
Yeah. You could blame Jerry Seinfeld for that one. I just wanted to bring that up because I saw that, and some people may think that's a fine prize, or maybe that passes off as cool in Canada. I'm not sure. But anyhow, the answer to last week's trivia question was Michael Bishop. And you wanted to add something about Michael Bishop there, Footloose?
Well,
yeah,
just,
what was
again,
the question?
You know,
what was the question?
The question was when Tom Brady was the third-string quarterback in New England as a rookie, who was the second-string quarterback? And the answer is Michael Bishop. And, you know, there's a guy that was a phenomenal athlete, great talent, came up here and had a pretty solid career over 10 years. He was a starter at some points, but mostly as a backup, but a very good athlete. And you know, again, you just talk about how many great players end up here, and Michael Bishop's another example of it.
By the way, in our notes, Footloose was kind enough to point out, like, the CFL quarterbacks that played in the NFL, and most fans would not want me to bring up Joe Pisarcik, Footloose. I actually watched that game live because I was in New York and I would watch the Jets and the Giants, and that fumble, I mean.
That was well, that's why I brought it up, because I knew you'd have memories of that, and I know you're a Jets fan.
It was just the most awful thing I could think of, and I think it was Larry Zonka that wasn't ready for the ball, right? It was an aging Larry Zonka. And it was
he was 85% aging.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Herm Edwards was the guy that picked it up, yeah. So.
Yeah, so it did, you know, and then would come on and butcher his coaching with the Jets, but that's another thing. And then Mike Vanderjagt. Nobody in the States wants to hear about Mike Vanderjagt anymore. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, again, though, it's. I mean, I keep thinking of him as being probably at that point the best kicker in NFL history until that moment when he missed that kick in the playoffs, and then Peyton Manning's famous rant where he talked about the idiot kicker getting liquored up.
Yeah,
I mean he'll be forever.
I supported Peyton Manning on that. I did.
Yeah. Any time you can get idiot kicker together in the same sentence, you'll probably support that, right?
Well, I guess that wasn't Peyton on a Sunday morning. It was more like Peyton on a Saturday night, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. But again, there, you know, some great and we're talking about guys that like Frank Trpucka that kind of cut their teeth, had CFL
mm-hmm.
careers, and then went to star in the NFL. And you know, Jeff Garcia is one that really jumps out.
Yes,
as a guy that had
really
a great
good.
Career up here. And
they love him.
Signed with San Francisco, and then it was like he was one concussion away from being a star, and that's what happened with Steve Young in front of him.
Yeah, but no, in Philly he had a nice little run too. I mean, people liked him here; mm-hmm. they did.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback, and he was good in Philadelphia too. So.
And Joe Theismann, we should mention Joe Theismann. He was pretty great.
There's another one on that list too, Mike Nelms. I don't know if you remember Mike Nelms or not. He was an all-star defensive back in Ottawa in the late 70s, and then he went down and was on that Super Bowl 17 winner in Washington. He was a Pro Bowl defensive back, or he was a Pro Bowl
mm-hmm.
punt returner, kick returner.
I was
and he's
too preoccupied with John Riggins. I was a big Riggins fan, so I probably didn't.
Well, if you look at the NFL team of the 80s, the team of the decade for the 80s, Mike Nelms is on that team as the kick returner. So he had a very good career, won a couple of Super Bowls.
You know what I was doing during that Super Bowl? It's funny because I was in like a weekly Sunday bowling league at that point. It was a very exciting point in my life. And so I was imbibing and watching the Super Bowl when I wasn't bowling, which, you know, basically was almost every minute, right? Because you don't really have to pay attention when you're bowling. But again, all I remember were the Hogs and John Riggins and me, like, pumping my fist a lot because I love John Riggins. That's all I remember. That's it.
Saskatchewan, if you're listening, Russ always makes fun of Saskatchewan. Here's a guy that was bowling during the Super Bowl in his bowling league. Okay, so I think that's an ender as far as that ever goes.
It's pretty close. All right, so here's the trivia question. Every year, the last pick in the NFL is named Mr. Irrelevant and presented with the Lozman Trophy. I didn't know that they actually had a name for that. What CFL star was the first Mr. Irrelevant? Wasn't that you, Footless?
No, Mr. Court Jester, maybe.
Well, that's that is in the testament. Oy is in there. I'm just letting you know that. I've seen that.
I don't remember reading that verse or
you
whatever.
You didn't get the newsflash. All right.
I don't have the new update, I guess. Yeah.
Well, Paolo, please tell everybody how they can find the replay of this fine show and everything else you feel like saying for the next, like, minute.
Thanks, Russ. So you can reach us on Twitter. We are at 20-yard end zone, so that's 20-yard end zone on Twitter. And the podcast is available on SoundCloud.com. You'll find each new episode posted, surprise, surprise, on our Twitter page each week. We recently added the podcast to podbean.com, so two different ways you can hear us, so please do check out
SoundCloud.
Is that run
by aliens? It sounds that way.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit scary. I had to make sure I did my research and wasn't getting in over my head there, but but everything checked out, so we're on Podbean.
Okay.
And of course, the podcast link to the podcast is always available at defendthr.com. That's my Ottawa Red Blacks themed blog. So, yeah, feel free to interact with us. Send us a note on Twitter. We'd be happy to hear from you.
And if you see Footloose on the street, just say hey. That's all.
Kickers are people,
hey,
too.
Keep it moist and have an 85% of a great day.
All right. That's it. We'll catch everybody next time.